Hello and welcome to Out and About in Morovians. I'm your host, Jeremy Balfour. As part of my job as Member of the Scottish Parliament, I get to travel around Morovians, meeting interesting people and hearing about how the companies, charities and projects that they work for benefit and contribute to our community. On this podcast, I will share their stories. On today's episode, I'm looking forward to talking to Rosa Innes from the School of Hard Knocks. Well, Rosa, School of Hard Knocks, just tell us, who are you?
School of Hard Knocks, we're a social inclusion charity, so we use sport as a vehicle for change. And specifically in Scotland, we use rugby. So it's about using contact sport, which can help teach controlled confrontation as well as sort of the other values. I mean, it's rugby that we use, sometimes boxing. So, and the values of rugby include kind of commitment and cohesion and respect for the ref. So essentially, we're working with vulnerable and socially isolated people, and we're helping them get back on track and reach their own potential using rugby as a vehicle for change.
So what kind of age group are you kind of dealing with? Is it youngsters, old people? Where do we fit in?
We have two distinct programmes. One is for young people. We work in secondary schools. At the moment, we're in nine secondary schools in Scotland. And we work with young people aged about 13 to 16. So in each school, we'll work with two groups. It tends to be a girls' group and a boys' group. Each group will have about 20 pupils. And we'll work with those 20 pupils once a week, every week, for an entire academic year. Those pupils will get three periods with us. One is spent out on the rugby pitch. So we teach them from, you know, most of them have never touched a rugby ball before. So we teach them how to play rugby. And then the other two periods are spent doing mentoring with them. So one-to-one and group mentoring. And we'll play kind of rugby fixtures, and then we'll have a rugby festival at the end of the year. So yeah. Nine schools and about 40 pupils in each. Our adults programme is a shorter course, so that's an 8-week intervention, and that's working with adults aged 18 plus, no upper age limit. I have had adults in their 60s take part and play rugby for the first time. That can be a bit nerve-wracking for us, so we have to make sure and keep them safe. And that's an 8-week course that they will do, so we do those across Scotland, but most recently in the Lothians we did one in Leith Rugby Club. And we also do a drop-in at Leith Rugby Club every Monday night, where we work with people who, as I said, so long-term unemployed, socially isolated and vulnerable in different ways, or people who just need a bit of a hand to get back on their feet.
Now, you've been going for quite a number of years. Would you say the issues you're facing are different now, say, post-COVID, or is it roughly the same type of individuals coming with the same type of issues?
It's actually, I would say, the same, often the same type of individuals, if you will, but they are facing even more issues than previously. So in our schools, obviously, we've got young people who've had this kind of extended period of time out of education, and a lot of the young people we work with have difficult home lives. And so during lockdown, they've had to spend a lot of time at home in that place that sometimes isn't safe for them. Of course, that's not the case for all of our children, but it is the case for some. So we have a whole range of issues that are more enhanced as a result of COVID. We also have young people with a lot more anxiety, a lot more problems with confidence, a lot sort of lacking in social skills and things that you sort of learn just by being part of society. In terms of our adults, interestingly, when I started this charity in Scotland, so our chief exec, Ken, launched it in England about 11 years ago, and I launched it in Scotland about 7 years ago. When we started with our adults work, it was very much an employability programme. So we work with long-term unemployed people, and we help them get back into work. So work on their confidence, their employability skills, their well-being, and honestly sitting with them doing job applications, sorting out their CVs. Now the adults that we work with, they tend to be further from work. So they are not ready to go straight into work. We're looking at getting them closer to work. So really working on more basic things in terms of their well-being and their confidence, and helping them reach goals that are about their family and their life and their fitness and getting out and about and reducing their kind of isolation and works a bit further away for them.
Obviously, I think everyone is aware of that. Younger people, but also older people, are facing this mental health issue.
Yeah.
There's no easy answer.
Yeah.
But how do you think, as a society, we should be helping those who are really struggling with their mental health?
I mean, you know, it's a big question. I think one of the most important things for people who are struggling with their mental health is connection, is feeling seen and being able to talk about it. So I think that, you know, from day to day, it's important to talk to people around you. So most of us live in a community. Very few of us live very, very rurally. And I think just checking in on the people that are around you, eye contact, asking people if they're okay, and sort of helping each other out a bit. And I think that kind of goes quite a long way. People, what we try to do is make people feel part of something, boost people's self-esteem, and all of that can just sort of help people to see the bigger picture. I would say as a society, God, there's lots of people trying to solve this problem, isn't there? I think just being kind to each other and being open to other people and what they're facing. That's a pretty base level, but...
No, but important, really important. So someone might be listening to this for the first time, never heard of School of Hard Knocks. Do you need volunteers? Can people volunteer? How can people get involved with you?
We actually don't work loads with volunteers. A lot of the people we work with are very vulnerable, and so it would take a lot of training for us to get somebody to work with them consistently. And the other thing is that we do work very consistently with our adults and with our school kids, so they've got the same people working with them once a week, every week. So if somebody's got quite a lot of time that they could commit and they'd be able to do some training and work with us every week, then brilliant. But otherwise, doing things like fundraising events for us, or getting in touch saying I'd like to shake a bucket at whatever event, or my local rugby club is going to raise some money and we'd like to give it to you. We really do welcome support from people, and sometimes people can think of quite novel ways they can help. Like I had a woman who was a Pilates instructor, and she said, you know, could I teach Pilates for your chaps? And I said, yeah, that would be great. So things like that really help. So particularly if people have skills that are relevant to what we're doing. But otherwise, the thing that people can do is look us up, follow us on social media, and talk about what we're doing. Mm-hmm. That's really helpful, because quite a lot of people don't know who we are and what we're doing, and so getting the word out is important.
So you say you work with boys and girls at school. Mm-hmm. What about your adult programme? Is it women as well that play rugby?
Yes. So it can be a little bit trickier to convince women to take part in the first place for, you know, a lot of reasons that are quite obvious. Women feel that it's a sport that is not as accessible to them. Usually when working with women, we will kind of go at the fitness angle. So we'll say, come and do this fitness course, and then we'll gradually introduce the rugby ball. As we do that, they're kind of like, okay, cool, once you've built up the trust. We do work about 50-50 with boys and girls in schools. Right now we're delivering a women's course in Clydebank, so not in the Lothians. And that's going pretty well. We've got women in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s doing that one. By and large, if we start in a new area, we'll usually do a men's course first, build up our reputation, get people talking about it, and then we'll do a women's course. And yes, it's harder to get them to do it, but it works really well.
And obviously, we had the World Cup, Rugby World Cup. Had that made any difference for people saying, oh, I can pick up a ball and run with it now, or is it kind of passed most people by?
A lot of people have watched it. It has different impact for us. We often find that big rugby events like Six Nations or World Cup is a good fundraising opportunity for us. People are talking about it, they're watching it, so we'll kind of pop into their minds more easily, or we can do a live screening of an event, for example. So that's good. One thing that is challenging is that there's often so much press about injuries that can happen as a result of rugby, and I think that's been quite prevalent lately, and it can make people a bit nervous to take part, or it can make some parents nervous to get their children to take part. So that can be a challenge. I mean, we use rugby so that people have fun. Mm-hmm. It's very unusual for us to have any kind of injuries, and certainly nothing particularly serious. So we have to then try and make, and people see rugby on the telly and they're like, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not having these big guys running at me. And we're like, no, it won't look like that. So yes and no.
Okay. Excellent. So how did you end up doing this? You said you started it here in Scotland. So just tell us a bit about who you are, how you've ended up doing this work?
Sure. So most people who work for School of Hard Knocks are very strongly from a rugby background. So that is their thing. They played growing up, they've coached or whatever it might be. I should also add that School of Hard Knocks used to be a TV programme. So it was us, it was our concept, and Sky Sports delivered 11 series, I think, of that. So a lot of people in the rugby community have seen that TV programme. It's got Scott Quinnell and Will Greenwood and all of these people doing impassioned speeches. So they think, oh, great, School of Hard Knocks, that's what that is. I actually am not from a rugby background at all. My parents are not remotely interested in team sport. So I grew up kind of interested in the outdoors and fitness, but not in team sport. I went to Glasgow Uni, studied philosophy, and then I worked for various charities. So I kind of built a career from Scottish Association for Mental Health, Teenage Cancer Trust, Cancer Research UK. And as that sort of started to develop, I saw this job come up and I just thought, I really believe in sport for social inclusion. I really believe that it works, that it gives people connection, that actually getting physically active is something that is extremely cheap and if not free, a lot of different parts of it, that can boost people's self-esteem and their confidence. And if I could tie all of that in with my skills kind of influencing and managing, then something meaningful could happen from that. So that's how I got there. But for my understanding of rugby is pretty good now, but for quite a long time I was the butt of many jokes at work.
So clearly you're working with lots of individuals who, as you said, are on quite a large journey, quite a large spectrum. I suppose, where do you hope people will end up? You know, if what do you see if you've been working with someone in a school, working with someone in the adult world? What's the success for you?
Well, we say that life is an uneven playing field and we're here to help even it out. And so I think kind of a bit more equity and people having a bit more feeling more aspiration, perhaps, so that they can reach higher goals in their own life. And those need to be goals that they set. So it's quite personal for every person. But ultimately, it is each person reaching their own potential. So I've worked with people who've got PhDs, so really high achieving academically, and likewise high achieving athletes. And we've worked with people who have never had a job before in their life. We work with people who can't read or write, or have come to this country and don't have right to work and don't speak any English. And so for all of those people, their own goals will be something quite different. So we like to sit with somebody and help them set those goals and make sure that they are meaningful, you know, realistic goals, and then help them achieve them. And I think that once people have that boosts their self-esteem and it gets that momentum going, and then they're setting more goals for the future and getting to really the best place that they can be.
Do I think, did I see in social media that you've been working with some of the people who have come into the country from Ukraine and from other parts?
Yeah, so we had this particular guy that was that is currently on our social media, who had been a PE teacher in Ukraine, and so he loved rugby. That was a big thing for him. And then he joined the army in Ukraine and was injured, I think in a bomb attack, so really had to have quite a lot of his body reconstructed, and then came over to the UK on one of the schemes that we have running here. And that's hard, you know, he has a kid and a wife and they didn't speak great English, they don't know anybody here, but they had to relocate. That was necessary for them. And one of my colleagues met him, I think at a third party, a third sector organisation. And he said, wow, rugby, all I want to do is hold a rugby ball again. I never thought that I would be able to do that because of what I've been through physically. And so he couldn't join a club because it was just too dangerous. But we were able to work with him on a one-to-one basis. We're getting him volunteering at rugby clubs now. Just need to get his English up to a level where he should be able to teach again as a PE teacher. So for him, it was so impactful, actually, and it was amazing to see how happy he was, and he was able to coach the other guys because he was physically not as able, but he knew how to teach people and how to play.
But sadly, our time is almost gone, so let me do what I, you know, always finish with my kind of magic wand. What do you think would make a difference to the charity or to the people that you're working with if you could have your magic wand?
If I had a magic wand, I think Yeah, it's really difficult to say. We would obviously, like every other charity, like to be able to do more. So to be out there further. I think that obviously money would be amazing so that we would have more reach. But I think just awareness, I think the world being more open to different people from different backgrounds and being more understanding about them would be really, really helpful. I think also charities really like to work together. So I think some people think, oh, charities might compete against each other, but we don't. If we see that somebody is doing one thing, we will refer people onto them and they'll refer us back to that. So I think everybody having a better understanding of what is out there and contributing to that and having a more joined up holistic picture between kind of third sector and government and everything else that's going around. I don't know, I don't have the magic wand, but I think we could do it. We could do it better.
Thank you so much. Thank you again. It was so great to hear from Roger and to see how the impact of rugby can really improve people's lifestyle and choices. We'll put a link to their website in the show notes and you can go to it if you want to find out more. Thank you for listening to Out and About in the Lothians, and I look forward to catching you next time.